Aileen, who is the Oral Health Promotion Officer for the Department of Health, and she's going to be talking to us all about maintaining dental health and hygiene. Aileen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, people can't see them, and they are covered by your headphones now, but you have the most beautiful pair of teeth earrings.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you even find these?
I was at a seminar in Brisbane, so they had a company there selling all sorts of dental knick-knacks and pins and mirrors, and I spotted these, and I thought, I'm having them.
Right, I'm in. Get them in my ears. What was it about dental hygiene that really interested you? Like, how did you get involved in teeth?
It's been 37 years of working in teeth. It was school dental service I graduated from in 1982. And from there, I just progressed and went on to working with adults as well, working private practice, working oral health promotions, community service, just very much enjoy seeing people improve their lifestyle and their self-esteem with their mouth health, the mouth and body connection, everything's all related.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. People often think of dental hygiene as being a cosmetic issue, but the Beach study showed that there were so many other systemic health issues that arise from poor dentition.
Yes.
For example, something that I don't think that a lot of people know is the risk of heart disease.
Yes, very much so. Generally, people that have had heart surgery are at higher risk. If their mouth is kept healthy, they've got less risk of the bacteria entering the bloodstream and setting up a colony on their heart damaged tissue. That can break off later on and cause a stroke. So hence why people that have had heart operations or have got heart-affected tissue, they go on antibiotics now before they have dental treatment just so that the bacteria can't do the damage. People that have suffered with rheumatic fever, same thing, heart damage. So, yeah, it's very important that their mouth health is well and truly maintained.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, it's not covered by Medicare at the moment.
With dental health services, if you are on a pension card, healthcare card, you can actually access dental services for subsidy, 50 and 75% fee relief. So if those people hold a healthcare card, pension card, they can access the adult dental clinics, which are statewide. There's also a subsidy scheme where they get subsidised for treatment to go to registered private practice as well, that the children from 0 to 4 can be seen at these general dental clinics as well for free. 5-year-olds to year pre-primary to year 11, that's the school dental service. That's free to every child statewide. Most the clinics are attached to a primary school and parents bring the children in on an appointment, and there's also dental vans in the country. Basically, from the age of 17 through to adulthood, it's the general dental clinic. The means test with Centrelink, with their payment, with the tax benefit, depends on whether or not that they are eligible for a healthcare card, pension card.
So it's a little bit tiered, like with
yes, it is.
RPRFM.
Yes, I'm standard.
If maybe you're a concession subscriber, then maybe, you know, one of the oral health centres is that kind of...
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, cool. And so are there... So now that we've had a chat about why teeth are so important, why is there such a specific importance placed on baby teeth and teething?
Baby teeth are the precursor to a good adult dentition. So baby teeth are important to keep healthy, to keep maintained for speech, not just for eating. I mean, a child that has baby teeth that are healthy and all their present will actually be the guiding mechanism for the adult teeth. We don't know why how adult teeth decide to come through. But if you can imagine a baby tooth that's been removed through dental decay, dental disease early, the baby teeth either side of where that tooth is gone will start to drift and close up that gap. The adult tooth that's developing underneath won't have any room to come through. Consequently, later on in life can cause orthodontic issues, which is expensive treatment. But it's also for the child's health. Having time off from school, from dental disease, is a big thing. Not to mention also the pain of being woken up in the middle of the night and poor mum having to rush off to emergency to have her child seen and have antibiotics. It's quite stressful for the child and the parent.
Dental pain is some of the worst pain, and you know, if adults are experiencing this, you know, crushing jaw pain from their teeth, you don't want babies to be feeling that.
I've heard of some people say, I'd rather give birth to my baby than have a toothache. Yes.
And so what are some of the things that we can do to prevent things coming to this point?
Well, it's a balance of keeping bacteria under control. So it's regular toothbrushing with a small headed soft toothbrush. Diet is so important because you can imagine teeth have got the most tiniest crevices. So a toothbrush bristle just cannot reach those areas. So keeping your sugars at a reduced amount, especially the sticky, particular the muesli bars, the dried fruit, not just lollies. And there's so much hidden sugar in our foods today. Even tomato sauce has a high amount of sugar. People should read labels. Just for all the additives, and sugar can be hidden as sucrose, fructose, cane syrup, all sorts of clever ways that manufacturers can hide that it's got certain sugars in it.
And if you do have a treat, brush your teeth afterwards?
Basically, if you have a sweet substance, generally have a drink of water to reduce the acids, because it's bacteria in combination with sugar. The bacteria breaks that down to a simple acid. So you can imagine if you have a lolly and your mouth is full of the sugar, bacteria thinks this is a great time to have a party, make this acid, and it's in the mouth. So if you go and brush your teeth straight away, you're basically brushing the teeth and exposing that enamel, and that acid in the mouth can still get into the teeth. So it's best to wait a good half an hour, have a good drink of water after something sticky, sweet or acidic, and then brush your teeth a little bit later with a fluoride toothpaste.
I'm going to take a big jug of water into our phone room because the station is running on sugar at the moment.
No.
There's sugar everywhere, but it's all right. We'll get the water, we'll get people teeth brushing. This is my personal question. Is there a consensus on electric toothbrushes versus regular toothbrushes?
Manual toothbrushes. Generally, we don't encourage children to use electric toothbrushes till their motor skills are up there. We well and truly ask parents to supervise toothbrushing till they're at least 9 or 10. They just don't have the motor dexterity to do it with a manual brush, let alone an electric. A lot of children put their electric toothbrush just on the middle part of the teeth. They don't put it on the gums, so you're getting all this bacteria still building up on the gums and on that little gum line where the gum meets the tooth. So the first start of decay is this white line. It's called initial decay. And that can be reversed. Brushing correctly, getting up on the gum line, removing that plaque. The plaque is the big term, you know, for bacteria and food mixed together. And that can be reversed. But once it gets deeper into the tissues of the tooth, then it's irreversible, so it's decay. So the electric toothbrush is great, but it needs to be still supervised. A lot of parents think, oh, it's encouraging my child to brush, which is great, but they go off and leave the child to their own devices and the child has no idea what they're doing with it. So we generally advocate the electric brush when they get a little bit older. And no flossing. You don't have to floss at the age of 10. It's difficult. They can also do some damage to their gums if they don't know what they're doing. So we don't advocate flossing till over the age of 12.
But lots of water, lots of regular brushing,
yes,
and just, you know, keeping an eye on your teeth health and emphasising the importance of that if you're a parent to your child and, you know, maybe to your family members or your partner if they maybe need that prompting.
And the elderly. I cannot stress the importance of the elderly. they are prone to getting what we call aspiration pneumonia, where the bacteria in their mouth that hasn't been cleaned off, they can inhale it. They get it into their lungs, they get this terrible chest infection. A lot of elderly in aged care can actually pass away. It can be fatal. So it's so important that our elderly are looked after. It's not just the young, but the ones that are in aged care facilities. Some of them have got complicated dental treatment and it's not being maintained. It's a bit of a bone of contention with us therapists and hygienists and dentists that the aged care facilities aren't getting, like, the hairdressers and the physiotherapists and the podiatrists. You know, what about dental? This is all to do with the mouth and body connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's so important. It's something.
And so much those things, the complications that we've been talking about, so much more scary than just going to the dentist
exactly.
and getting it over with.
Yeah.
So if it's been a while and you're thinking maybe it's time to head down to the dentist, make sure that you follow the advice of Aileen and get on that in the near future. If you've just tuned in, we've been chatting to Aileen, who is an oral health promotion officer, talking all things dental hygiene with the MAG this morning. And that's just an example of the kind of varied chats that we have on the MAG at RTRFM 92.1. Everyone from Fremantle Federal Minister for Parliament to, you know, politics professors and oral hygiene experts.